All right, Mark chapter 1, beginning at verse 35, it says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we do give you thanks and praise for your holy word. And Lord, we now ask that you add a blessing to the reading of it. Lord, I thank you for another opportunity to share your gospel, to preach your word, to stand in this pulpit. And Lord, we ask now this morning that you would be glorified through the preaching of it, that I would fade to the back, and that you, the true messenger, would come forward. Lord, I pray that you would give us ears ready to hear and hearts ready to receive. And as we look at this passage and the importance of prayer, may we possibly make some changes in our life in communing with you on a daily basis. We pray all this in your precious, holy, and mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat this morning. So as Pastor Peter preached last week in the passage before, after spending a majority of his evening at Peter's mother-in-law's house, healing the sick, healing his mother-in-law to begin with, and then healing the sick and casting out clean spirits at Peter's home, we see in the text that we have this morning that Christ, immediately upon the next morning, rose, as it says, a great while before the day. Even though he had been tired from the work that had been before him the previous day, what I want you to see this morning is that Jesus understood the importance of being alone with God. Jesus understood the importance of being alone with God. And folks, this is not just a one-time occasion that we see in the Gospels. This is throughout the Gospels. You will find time and time again Jesus going off alone to a solitary place to pray. You see, prayer and quiet time was a priority and a necessity for his life and his ministry. And think about it, folks. If there was ever someone who did not need to pray, if there was ever someone who did not need to spend time with God, it would have been Jesus. I mean, he was God himself. Yet, what he does for you and I, and what the gospel writers do for you and I, is it shows that just as Jesus did in everything else that God calls us to, he sets the example for our prayer life. He sets the standard for our prayer life. And what I want to do this morning is walk through this passage, and I have two key points that I want you to see, but I'm hoping, listen to this, I'm hoping not to preach to you very long this morning. Wow, tell me how you really feel. Hold on, because the next part might make you even more uncomfortable. Because I hope that we then will take some time and spend some time together in prayer this morning. Some of you are like, go ahead and preach, Pastor. That's all right. Look with me at verse 35, because the first thing I want you to notice is his method of prayer. It says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed." There's a method here to how he prayed. Some people are always asking me, Pastor, how should I go about praying? Jesus gives you a template just in one verse. You ready? He rose up super early. That's what it says. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before the day. Before the sunrise, before anybody else has gotten up out of bed. Yes, he was tired. Yes, I know you're tired. But he got up early. There's something about the newness of the morning. Maybe even before the sun even came up. I don't know, because remember, folks, morning starts at midnight. He got up. And you may be saying, Pastor Jeff, why are you telling me that a good method of prayer is to get up early? I don't think I'm just telling you that. I think the scripture readers are telling you that. Think of all the different things that a scripture reader could have recorded about Jesus' prayer. And one of the things they noted, specifically Mark, is that Jesus was willing to be a servant unto God and to the importance of getting up early. If the Bible notes it, there's significance to it. He got up early. Why? Because if he got up early, it says, and he went out, he separated himself. He made sure he was in a place that other people weren't. Why am I mentioning that? It doesn't say that he just knelt by his bedside. Let's be honest, a lot of us, if we try to get up early in the morning and kneel by our bedside, we'll be tempted to lay our head back down and go back to sleep. But he separated himself. He got up and out. He got up and out. He went somewhere. And that somewhere that he went alone, it says, and departed into a solitary place. He was by himself. All things that if you go to Matthew chapter 6, he encourages his disciples to do. What does he tell them? He says that in order for you to pray, he says, go into your prayer closet and shut the door. Find it all right here in Jesus modeling it. Go someplace alone. We don't know where he went. It could have been an abandoned building. It could have been on the countryside. Could have been on a mountainside. Could have been, I don't know. But he got up early. He separated himself from everyone else, his closest friends, and he went out alone. Why is that important? Because there's no distractions. Not just the distractions of the people he was around, but no distractions at all, folks. Can I give you a really good practice right now? When you go to prayer, turn this thing off. This is your biggest distraction in your prayer life right now. This is the biggest distraction in my prayer life right now. Easiest way to take a distraction, turn it off. Even when it comes to reading the Word of God, this is why I still tell people, I know I'm getting off topic and it's not prayer, but it's the Word of God. Get yourself the actual Word of God in your hands and not on an electronic device. You want to know why? Because when you're on an electronic device, it's attached to this. And you get notifications, and you get all kinds of other stuff, and you do. When you have this, God's got your attention. There's no notifications. There's no email. There's no text message. There's nothing. Oh, well, there's a text message, and it's coming from God, but amen. I realized what I said after I said it. But it was alone. And folks, what Jesus is modeling here is something that I believe is very important, because just as in many aspects of our life, he calls us to give him our very best, he calls us to give him our first fruits. Let's be honest, ladies and gentlemen, what he's doing right here and what he's modeling is he's giving the first fruits of his day unto the Lord. It's a brand new day. And Lord, I need to talk to you by myself before I do anything else. He's giving his first fruits. And why is it necessary to get up early, to separate yourself, to be alone and spend time in prayer? I love how it says, and there he prayed, because look at verse 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. The distractions of a day come quickly. The demands of a day come quickly. Now, I'm not going to rag on the disciples here. Instead, I'm going to give you a different idea as to what maybe is going on in the text. Listen, it says, "And Simon and they that were with him followed after him." I'm not surprised. After all, when Jesus called them, and we saw this just a couple verses ago, right, in some of the, what did Jesus call them to do? Follow me. Here are the disciples, right? They wake up sometime after Jesus, and they see Jesus is not there. They're probably already like, man, we got up early, ready to go. Probably like, man, I know there's a lot of stuff Jesus is going to have for us to do today. And they look over where Jesus is. Yeah, he gone. But when they saw he wasn't there, they did the very simple thing that he had asked them to do. Follow him. Now, they didn't know where he was, so they had to go out and they had to seek after him. And while they thought they were up early, how great is it for the master? How great is it also for the disciples that when they finally found Jesus, they found him praying? They didn't find him witnessing. They didn't find him serving. They didn't find him doing other things. No, they found Jesus praying. Can I ask you something? Are you willing to rise super early? Are you willing to separate yourself? Are you willing to go to a solitary place to do what to follow Jesus and to seek after him on a daily basis? You know, this would have been the perfect day for Jesus to sleep in. You know what this day was? It was the day after the Sabbath. You know why so many pastors take off Monday? Because they're tired after Sunday, the one day a week they work, right? They're tired after Sunday. My goodness, I'm tired Sunday afternoon. If there was one day that, no, but it shows the importance of your relationship with the Lord doesn't take a day off. It is necessary. I don't care if you were in church Sunday, the next morning you should be ready to seek his face again, to go to him in prayer. And they find him praying. You know, like I said, they probably thought they were macho men. Did you, John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist movement, you know what he wrote? In, he was notorious for getting up early and seeking the Lord in prayer. And towards the end of his life in his journal, you know what John Wesley wrote? He put, "Laziness is beginning to creep in. I find it extremely hard to get out of bed before 5 a.m. Just don't make them like that anymore. Pastor, why can't I pray at night? You can, but you're going to have a bunch of distractions. You're going to have your mind everywhere. And usually when you don't go and pray in the morning, chances are when it comes to night, you're going to fall asleep on your pillow in the midst of it. This is about making your prayer life a priority. I think that's what the Lord is trying to show us in here. And folks, you can pray whenever. In fact, Paul says later on, you're supposed to pray without ceasing, amen? But there's a template here. There's a methodology here. Look at verse 37. It says, "And when they found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. All men seek for thee." I love that when it says, "When they found him, they said unto him," you would think maybe they didn't realize the power of Christ's prayer because it's early right now. But you would think maybe some common courtesy would have been in order. That when the disciples found Jesus praying, they'd been like, oh, there he is. Oh, well, he's praying. We should let him finish up. No, it says they just, hey, Jesus. Hey, he's in here. Let's go. All men are seeking for you. Don't you just love that? By the way, it says the disciples were seeking for him, but they said all men. You know, that's like when the pastor hears something in the church. You know, people are saying, pastor, and in reality, it's just the person who's saying that to you or the people in their circles. That's why when people come to me and say, you know, people are saying, unless they give me names, I don't care, because usually it's just that person. Just a tidbit as we move forward. But folks, why is it necessary to give the first fruits of your day a great while before the day of the Lord's? Because distractions are going to come. Let's be honest. Some of y'all are parents of young children. I'm parents of children, not so young anymore. It's making me feel old. But you know that those kids, if you don't set a time in the morning before they're awake, you know once they're awake, you're not going to get that time. There's stuff that needs to be done. There's stuff that needs to be done, right? There will be interruptions. There's always going to be something that comes along. But you need to spend time. You need to spend time in prayer, because here's why. Look at verse 38 and 39. And he said unto them, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all of Galilee and cast out all devils. Why is it essential that you need that quiet time? Why is it essential that you need that time of prayer and time of communion with the Lord early before the day gets started and the distractions come? Because, ladies and gentlemen, there's stuff for you to do, and you need to get your marching directions, and you need to get your strength to do it from God and not yourself. You need to get it from God and not yourself. Now, notice in the text, it doesn't tell us how long Jesus had been there before the disciples found him. But it does say a great while before the day, all right? So there had to have been time there, adequate enough time. Jesus didn't say, hey, shush, I need some more time. He had what he needed. And notice it says, Jesus immediately, right? It's saying, let us go into the next town. You see, he needed to spend time in prayer so that he would be prepared for what God called him to do. Specifically, he notes that he was ready to go and to preach. By the way, one of the things that Jesus came to do was to preach the good news. We've seen him do it already. To preach the kingdom of God. That's what he was called and ordained to do. And he knew that God told him he needed to do it. And he had a specific time that he needed to do it. And where he needed to do it. And if he was going to accomplish what God called him to do on his timetable, he needed the strength to be able to do it and the know-how to be able to do it. You know, sometimes people think, and Pastor Peter can attest, pastor gets up there and preaches a message. Can I tell you? It's easy sometimes to come up with an outline, but when it comes to how to present it and how to relay it to a congregation, the messages are bathed with so much prayer. There's probably more time spent in prayer when it comes to preaching than it is actually putting notes on a page to be able to relay it to you. Because the Spirit of God has to be in it. You got to be able, as you're preaching, to read people's faces, to see what the Lord is doing in and through. And for some of you, I know it's been a joke, but I probably read the faces of this section and this section more than I do the middle sections. So if you want to fly under the radar when pastors preach and sit in the middle sections, I ignore these groups. I don't know. But when it came to COVID and I had to preach to a camera, I was really good about staying. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But folks, he knew what he needed to do. And so that quiet time that he had in prayer with the Lord was essential for his strength to carry it out, for the courage to carry it out, and for the know-how to carry it out. You want to know why? Listen, I believe this had something to do with it. Back in the passage that Pastor Peter had preached last week, you know what you find in that passage? Jesus encounters the applause of man for the first time recorded in Scripture. He encounters the approval of man for the first time in Scripture. Accolades from man for what he is doing and how it's going about. Can I tell you, there had to be a level that as Jesus encountered that, that was one of the first temptations that Satan was giving him. The approval of man rather than the approval of God. That Jesus said, if I'm going to go and continue to preach and continue to do what God called, I need to bathe myself in prayer so that way I know I am always seeking the approval of God rather than the approval of man. Because listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When you begin to preach and you begin to share the gospel, you begin to do ministry, if you are going to do things and only think you can succeed when you get the approval of man, you're not going to last very long in ministry. Your boss is God and God alone. There's going to be many times man is not going to agree with you. There's going to be many times man is going to come against you. But if it is of God, you continue to do what God has called you to do and not what man has called you to do. And that's the other part. Notice it says, and he preached. And where did he preach in verse 39? He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. So not only did this quiet time give him the strength and the courage to prepare to continue to do what God had called him to do, but it also prepared him to minister unto the people that he needed to minister to. Whether that was bringing them the gospel, praise the Lord, whether that was encountering opposition, where did it say he preached? Who were in the synagogues? Huh? Who? Pharisees. Speak up, people. Were the Pharisees his great fan club? Going to get met with opposition. And then notice again what happens. He's casting out devils. Where? Y'all think you come into church and everybody's saved. They ain't. I remember Pastor Bradley, my spiritual father, telling me one time, you need to always remember when you get in that pulpit, only 25% of that congregation probably knows the Lord. I'm not casting judgment on anybody this morning. But last I checked, Scripture says, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few enter through it. A lot of us have been deceived by a very watered-down gospel and by thinking that we can do things and that it's all, and instead it's all Christ. Folks, he needed that strength to encounter, and can I tell you something else? Listen, he needed that strength in that quiet time to deal with people. I feel like I'm preaching to myself this morning. How many guys have ever heard the saying, church would be great if it wasn't for the people? But yet you're called into ministry because you love God and you love people. It's a love-hate relationship, right? I love you, you hate me. I don't know. But you need strength to deal with it. You guys can all think in your mind, Lord, give me strength when it comes to a certain person that you have to deal with. And listen to me, the only way you're going to get that strength to deal with that person in a way that glorifies God and shows them the love, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ is for you to spend time with the Father who gives it to you unconditionally every day. You know, the same thing goes with coaching baseball. I'm finding that out in life. Coaching Little League is great if it wasn't for the adults. Right? Certain people excluded, you know, there are some families that are really good. I enjoy working with. They just happen to be in my church, too. But you need that time. Oftentimes, as a Christian, when you find yourself being short with your brothers and sisters in Christ, let's be honest. It's because we haven't been with the Father long enough. Because when you're with the Father and you spend time in prayer, you remember that just as annoying as they are, you're that annoying too. Amen, Pastor Jeff. Come on, I'll be the first to admit it. Amen. See, there it is, right there. Amen. My wife's in the nursery. She can't be here to vocalize all of it today. But we need to spend time in prayer because, listen to me. It supplements, it powers, it strengthens our ministry, whether it's what for God has told us to do or whether it's ministering to people. So as the worship team gets ready to come back up this morning, I wasn't going to try to preach very long because I want us to spend some time in prayer today. But again, I want to end with, listen, if the Son of God needed to withdraw alone and pray, how much more do we? I want to invite you this morning. As we, they're going to come forward, and I haven't run this over with Stephanie, but hopefully she, I just want some background music for a while before we go into the song, okay? If you need to come to the altar and pray, I want you to come to the altar and pray. If you want to kneel at your seat and pray, I want you to pray. Listen to me, very specific direction this morning. I know we are a church that likes to go and lay hands and pray over people. Uh-uh. We are praying, we're going into our spiritual closets, and we're shutting the door, and we're praying this morning, okay? I'm not leading a prayer. I want you individually to cry out to God. Whether it's back at the foot of the cross, whether it's back there in the corner, whether it's up here, we're not lifting and laying hands on. I want you to pray. Whether it's kneeling on these seats, I want you to pray. And if you don't feel like praying, here's your early dismissal. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But boy, that wouldn't look good walking out, would it? Told you, some of y'all be like, Pastor, keep preaching. Because trust me, we've done these prayer things before on Wednesday night services, and when it comes time for prayer at the end of the service, you know what a lot of people would do? They'd get up and leave. Prayer is the thing that is talked about the most in the church and is done the least. We have excuses constantly why we can't. We don't have time. Can I tell you, there's many ailments in the church today, in our communities today, in our families today, because we don't take time to pray. And you're the ones accountable for it. This is secretive prayer. This is your own personal prayer. It's not gathering with others. And if we did this the way we are taught to, the way that we are shown to, trust me, folks, our lives, our families, our churches, our communities would be different. They'd be different. You want to know how I know that? Because later on in the Gospels, we saw the disciples interrupt Jesus in prayer, right? In this passage. You know what we find later on in the Gospels? They've seen him heal people. They've seen miracles. They've seen all kinds of supernatural things come from Christ's authoritative teaching. When they get him alone, you know what the one thing they do? They say, Lord, teach us to pray. They could have asked him to teach them anything else that they've saw. The one thing they wanted to know from Jesus, teach us to pray. Because they knew everything that he did came from his prayer life. Came from his prayer life. Can I get the lights down? We're going to spend some time. Look, this isn't just good for you personally, but I think, again, you can't ordain this any better as to how the Lord has set it up. We're a new entity this morning as Grace Church. How did we begin? It fell on the first Sunday of the month. We had communion. How does this begin? We have a message on prayer. Folks, the only thing that's going to lead us forward as Grace Church Shrewsbury and be blessed by God is if we bathe ourselves in prayer, if we go before the Father and not make excuses, but pour out our hearts so that way he can prepare us for what he's called us to do and minister to the people he's called us to serve. Will you listen to this old hymn before we start having some background music? You can go ahead. If you want to come to the altar, you want to go someplace else, you want to kneel at your seat. I'm serious, folks. We're going to take some time. You don't have to stay where you are. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and listen to the old words of this song. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. In seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. The joys I feel, the bliss I share, of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. With such I hasten to the place where God my Savior shows his face, and gladly take my stay